Previously on Modular, our adventurers learned of a new quest that will take them to the mountain of Kelvin's Cairn. They were then threatened by a creepy cat, bested a group of Goliaths in tug-of-war, and officially became the Bitterhearts.
Gone.
A
little bit of banter for the ladies out there. I watched Abigail last night, the new vampire movie.
Oh yeah,
it was so fucking fun.
You like it?
Was it good?
It was so fun. If you did y'all see Ready or Not?
No.
Yeah.
If you no. liked Ready or Not, same directors, very same vibe, very similar vibe.
I did like Ready or Not.
Yeah, it's. I guess I shouldn't even say that it's a vampire movie, but if you see the trailer, like, I don't know, I won't talk too much about it.
It's very obviously a vampire movie.
Yeah. If you see the trailers, but I think that movie would be best, viewed if you just didn't know anything about it. So I really shouldn't have even said that. But
Is that the one with where they kidnap the little girl?
Exactly.
Oh, I did see. Well, I saw half of the trailer, and I was like, well, it looks interesting.
Yeah, I can definitely recommend it.
And do you know what? I mean, I like vampire movies and like vampire media and things like that. I've watched a few recently as well, some good, some bad. But all throughout all of them, the one thing that you're never supposed to say to a vampire is knocking on your door is hello.
And you certainly never want to say and welcome.
And you definitely don't want to tell you that your name is Thorin George.
And you never ever say that my name is Raven Walker.
And personally, I would probably be tricked into saying that my name is Luke Job.
And I've got to be honest, if the vampire was hot, which most vampires are, I'd probably tell them my name is Jack.
But we can tell them that this is Modular.
And it's most important that they know that this is the podcast where we take them through the modules written by the Wizards of the Coast for the 5th edition of Dungeons & Dragons.
That's right, Raven. Sorry to expose your name to the vampires out there. I would explain to a vampire, especially a hot vampire, that these are the pre-written stories made by the folks who made up Dungeons & Dragons. And we didn't write them for those beautiful vampires, but we are here to run them for them now so that they can listen to them.
And why do we do this? Well, it's not just because they're hot. Because maybe you're a DM who is thinking about running a particular campaign, you want to get a feel for how it plays out. Maybe your player's already been in this particular campaign. You want to reminisce on the good old days. Maybe you were, what's the old expression? Cracking up in a boy with the cold ones. And you got your blood all over your D&D set.
But y'all should be warned, especially the vampires. The vampires need to be aware of this, that each of our episodes will take on a part of these pre-written adventures. And that means there are major spoilers for the key plot points of each story that we are running. And right now we're running Rime of the Frost Maiden. So if you don't want any of these spoilers, especially our vampires, get out of here. Leave now. Turn into a bat and take flight.
That's right. And we should also warn these vampires, just in case there are any minor vampires out there, that Modular is not a podcast for them. It's not a podcast for children. It contains explicit language, as well as adult themes like sex, alcohol, drug use, violence, and it sounds like 3/4 of us simping over sexy vampires, which I'll just make it 4/4. Vampires can be really hot. So please be aware of these not so kid-friendly themes.
Now, without further ado, welcome to Modular.
And our session 4 of Rime of the Frostmaiden, and we apologize that it's not Curse of Strahd.
It's a modular pod, it's a modular pod.
All right. I'm going. I think that was a little...
Yeah.
Oh, it was Raven, a little jumpy.
No, it was just like, I don't know, the audio was a little weird for a second, but I'm here. I'm recording. We can sync up with the question.
Yeah.
Okay. Question to sync us up, and for our audience listening, and I've had an idea. I've had an epiphany.
He's a genius.
You guys don't really give a shit. You don't give a shit about us, you know? You think you might give a shit about us, but you guys don't give a shit about us. You give a shit about the characters that you're listening to. You give a shit about the story. That's why you keep coming back. It's not because Thorin invented the B-52 jet. That's not what you care about. You care about Aeth Bear. You care about Mithrama. You care about Logic's little pansy ass always complaining. And Beetle's mysterious ways. So, question to sync us up is about your characters. I'll start with you, Logic. Mm. Logic, do you follow a set religion or god or gods?
No. Logic does not.
Okay. All right. Follow-up question. Does the party know this?
No. I mean, Logic probably wouldn't have talked about it yet.
Okay. Aeth Bear, do you follow a set religion, god, or gods?
Yeah, I would say Aeth Bear is pretty...
You've mentioned Moradin before on air. So, does the party know?
I mean, I would assume yes.
Okay. Beetle, do That's you me? Follow a god or gods?
Well, technically, Shadar Kai are legally obligated to follow the Raven Queen. She's been having a hard time with that recently.
The party doesn't know that.
The party does not know that. But yeah. I think the signs are coming up.
Oh, the signs are coming.
Signs have been there.
And oh, hell yeah. Mithrama. Does Mithrama follow a religion, set of beliefs, gods?
Yeah, Mithrama's Catholic.
And you know what? You can tell because he's a little fucked up.
He
got that religious trauma.
He does have that religious trauma.
Did he go to a boys' school?
Yeah, I don't think that. No, went to the Catholic boys' school, just like his player, and it wasn't a good time. It wasn't enjoyable. I don't think he follows any religion, especially seeing that like they're currently in a place where every month they're burning people for a god. And he's like, at the very best, he's like they are not worth it.
Yeah. Okay.
So a question for you, Luke, to sync you up. Do you follow any gods or religions?
Yeah, I just recently converted to Pastafarianism.
Nice.
The flying spaghetti monster keeps me in check.
I actually pay tribute to a panel of gods, and it's actually the original cast of the L Word. So,
oh yeah,
Shane McCutcheon.
That's a bit of a pantheon.
Shane, you are my leader.
No. All right, Mithrama, you have been following Boy as you've approached Kelvin's cairn. And last episode, I kept saying Kelvern's cairn. But it is not Kelvern's cairn. That's a different mountain in a different world. That's not where you're at. You're at Kelvin's cairn. which that's is just hard to pronounce actually. For me. So you are scaling this hill, following Boy the best you can, and you look back and you see your three companions are following you. They're following your lead. And there's what I would imagine is some sort of inner conflict as you look back and realize that you're the one leading this motley crew, now known as the Bitterhearts. You've been told from a pretty young age that you were, in some regards, born to lead, and yet you've been running from that your entire life. And it seems that leadership has found you all the same. And in this case, you've done a good job, because now you see two pitched tents in the snow near an icy outcropping that acts as a natural windbreaker. Between the tents is an overturned sled. Still harnessed to the sled are five howling, cold, hungry, miserable dogs. Aww. And they all begin to howl and bark, and Boy barks and rushes to them and is just running around them, sniffing each one of them. All five of the other dogs are alive, but you can tell that they've been out here for a while, and do not look happy at all, but they're just pinned. They can't get out of their harnesses. You see that they've been chewing. You see a lot of bloody gums on these dogs. You also see that there are two small crates underneath the sled, which the dogs can kind of crane themselves towards. One of them hasn't been opened. No, none of the dogs can reach it, but the other has been broken open. You also see dogs, all the dogs have some, I guess, contributing to their bloody gums and mouths. They ripped these boards apart to get into this crate, which very clearly had food. And you see some food wrappings and stuff have been scattered about. So the dogs have been able to feed themselves in the past however many hours. But you can still see that they're incredibly cold. What would you like to do? You also see no sign of any humans here.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there's no evidence that this might be bait, like any kind of trap is around, like the ridges you were talking about?
Oh, there are, I mean, you're at the base of the mountain. There is there's one very clear trail, but there are a few different ways if you were like literally mountain climbing as opposed to like mountaineering, that you could get up this mountain. And so there are steep rock faces, and something could be waiting for you as you approach these dogs.
Okay.
Why don't you go ahead and make me a survival check?
Just with Rama?
Someone can give the help action.
I'll give you the help action.
Good. that's very good. Thank you. Didn't help. That's a 9.
Okay. The big thing that you can tell is that Boy does not seem to think there's any trap. He has immediately rushed over, and he's got dog ears and dog nose. So whatever that tells you. And dog eyes. And dog heart. Dog heart, dog feelings.
Do we think that animal control will come all the way out here for these other dogs, or...
Logic, are you joking?
No, that was an honest question.
All three of you that aren't Logic immediately know that Logic is way out of his depth out here.
It took us this long to realize
that? Yeah, it took you that long to realize that?
Maybe we thought that Logic was joking this whole time. Like, no, surely this...
Yeah, and now it's clicked. Like, oh shit, this is not a bit.
This is not a fucking bit. This is a city boy.
Beetle. City boy. All right, Beetle, you're pretty good with animals. How about you get those dogs free, the rest of us spread out and set up a perimeter around the fallen wagon. Sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beetle will go and she'll take her short sword and she'll like cut all the harnesses so the dogs are free. And she'll like try to like rub them a little bit to try and warm them up.
As soon as you cut one dog free, it runs off. You cut another one, runs off. Cut another one, runs. All five of them that aren't boy, as soon as they're freed, they fucking book it. They're gone. And you see that they're just making their way out into the tundra, and hopefully they know their way home, but they are immediately off.
So... you don't watch them go and be like, do you think it's going to help when Keegan sees all the dogs coming back and there's none of us, no Garrett? I'm sure that'll help his worry a lot.
He's definitely going to be stressed about that.
Well, they're already gone.
Go ahead.
No, go on.
I was going to say, if anyone wants to make me another set of... all of you can make me survival checks, go for it.
Sure thing, Chicken Wang. That's a 12.
18.
17.
I got a 17.
All right. So, logic with a 12. It's cold, for sure. And it's also dark. It's not deep and wet. It's just cold and dark. But that's all you gotta know. Beetle, Mithrama, both of you know, just getting a lay of the land. For one, you can definitively say whatever tracks might have been out here are gone. There are no tracks. The wind has definitely, and the snow has made sure that everything that was here is now been washed away. But you can also discern the likeliest route that someone would have taken if they continued up this mountain. You don't know why anyone would continue up this mountain if the sled was overturned, but there is an easiest route up the mountain. And logic, as you see Beetle and Mithrama kind of surveying this, this does not look easy. This does not look like what you want to be doing.
No.
It is dark, and it is cold, and this mountain is fucking huge. This is this is very much like a 14er situation. Like, you're looking up a big fucking Rocky Mountain-esque mountain.
Well, y'all have fun with that.
Well... if you squint your eyes a little bit, the mountain looks smaller. Like, it's blurrier, and you can't see it as much. It just looks like a hill.
Now, Beetle, you're a bit weird. I acknowledge that. But that's just fucking not true. That's called perspective, my dear.
Perspective will get you up this mountain.
Logic at this point is probably, like, gagging a little bit at the thought of having to, like, even start climbing this.
Yeah, it makes sense completely.
I'm gonna seeing this discomfort, I'm gonna walk up to Logic and I'm gonna draw my short sword and show it to Logic and go, look at this metal, what do you see?
And then I like look closer into the metal. I see one handsome fucking devil.
No, see, this is what I'm talking about. This is the problem. This sword didn't just come out of nowhere. You know, it was made. They had to get the metal. They had to burn it. They had to melt it down, and then they had to hammer it again and again and again. That mountain is a hammer. Right now, you're just a big old hunk of metal. You need to turn into this, or else you're gonna fucking die. All right.
See.
Cool. Let's go.
And then Logic is probably still looking at... he's probably still looking at his own reflection, honestly.
Yeah.
Hey,
and then as the sword is pulled away, you're just kind of stunned, standing there. You can see your three companions are beginning to march, which puts you in the back of the marching order. Probably not where you want to be, but it's go time. Boy is going up the mountain. Every, you know, 30 paces, he looks back. He sees Mithrama's behind him. Who's next in the marching order? Either Eighth Bear or Beetle.
I'll stay closer to Logic, so that way there's... I don't know.
Yeah, I'll be in the middle then.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Marching order is boy, Mithrama, Eighth Bear, Beetle, Logic. You all begin to climb. You've already walked, I want to say roughly 15 miles today, and now you're climbing a mountain.
Ooh, Jesus fucking Christ.
No big deal.
You feel the burning. Some of you more than others feel the burning in your calves, in your quads, in your lower back. You also have to keep in mind, you know, just as a friendly reminder to each of you, you can go back to your inventories, look at how much weight you're carrying. Think about that as you're just making this climb. Not for any mechanical reason, just for you as a player to understand that your character is going through it right now. And as you're moving, the howling wind, blowing snow, and slippery ice make the climb treacherous. I need each of you to make me athletics checks.
Oh my god.
This is a group check, so some of you going higher will help you out.
18.
What'd you get? 18?
18.
Nice.
I got a natural one for 0.
Six.
I got a 7.
I got an 11.
We got an 11?
Okay.
I love the game that Beetle was talking to Logic, like, no, the mountain's fine. It's totally fine. And then she's like, actually, I lied.
Yeah, okay. Immediately.
And Logic is like walking up, like, this is fine.
Yeah.
All right. So for the DMs listening,
Beetle, you were right.
For the DMs listening, there's one point on this mountain climb where they want you to make 3 athletics checks. DC, it's a group check. DC's 10. But they do them in rapid succession. I think it's a super simple edit. I would just space those out as the things on the mountain happen. So this is my first of 3 for my party. A few things. One, a general uphill kind of switchback that's just very icy that should probably take you all 10 minutes takes 30 minutes because Eighth Bear is able to hold his own and get up there. Boy is like grabbing at Mithrama's sleeve, helping pull him, and then Logic is actually like just kind of like very respectfully pushing Beetle by the ass and is like, keep going. Like, don't stop. Like, if you stop here, you're going to slide and I'm going to slide and we're both going to fucking fall. So with a nat 1, nothing crazy bad happens, but that is a failure, as is Mithrama 7. Both of you can add a level of exhaustion. You now have disadvantage on skill checks. 5 more levels and you're dead.
Awesome.
That's really good.
Ahead, you see 4 mountain goats perched on a large rock formation around which you must navigate. And, I mean, we're talking mountain goats, so not little billy goats. These things are bigger than boy.
They're big.
And one of them just looks at you, Mithrama, as you're leading the pack and just...
That's terrifying, Luke. Don't ever do that again.
And these weird slit eyes are just staring at you. It's dark. All of their fur is white, so they kind of stick out in the night. What would you like to do?
Beetle's going to rest for a minute. She's going to sit down on the ground.
All right. Is everybody cool taking a rest? Not like mechanical rest, but just a break for a second?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The 4 of you sit down. Boy seems agitated by this, and he also keeps looking at the goats, like, what the fuck is going on? The goats do not seem hostile in any way. More than anything, you tell that the risk about passing the goats is if you're actively passing a goat on a narrow ridge and you piss the goat off and it like headbutts you, it could knock you down the mountain, which would be very bad. Oh, but it's not that it would want to hurt you. It's more so just a defensive thing. So you just got to be careful passing these goats. As you sit down to take a rest, you look back down the mountain. You've made it about a quarter of the way up, putting you... I'm going to just spit... Well, actually, let me see if I can Google this because I want to see the elevation of Kelvin's cairn.
6 trillion feet.
Okay.
It's going to take you 3 years.
First off, this is real fucking lame. The Google says that it's a 1,000-foot tall mountain. That would be
that's lower than Boone.
So, well, I mean, the elevation is probably higher because you.
Yeah.
Tin Towns is definitely not at sea level. Well, it might be actually kind of close. Either way, this is not a 1,000-foot tall mountain. We're going to say that this is a 5,000-foot tall mountain.
There we go.
So, you are now, right now, about 1,200 feet up. And this gives you a decent view. You look back, you see how far you've come. You can see the outline and the lights, what little light there is, of the Tin Towns. And beyond that, in the darkness, and I mean, it is dark, all you can really see is the silhouette of the Spine of the World, which is the huge mountain range to the north that no one ever passes. And yet all four of you at some point in your life have gone through it. It's not a crazy big moment for any of you, but all four of you just in this moment realize you have overcome certain things to be right here at this time. And looking around at each other, for worse or for better, now the bitter hearts have found each other, and you do have these allies with you. And Eighth Bear, you see, as Mithrama has taken his pack off for a second, just to give himself the break that you're all taking, you see a piece of paper is just flapping in the wind. And on it is his name. Just says Mithrama. But you recognize the hand that penned it. The handwriting is definitely the handwriting you saw when you first came into Bryn Shander, and that guard wrote something down. You couldn't make it out, but now you see the curve of the M that reads Mithrama's name, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that envelope is the same envelope that has the information on you. Your information is in that envelope, and for whatever reason, Mithrama has it.
Interesting.
Do you want to say anything?
Mithrama, I don't mean to pry. What is that paper there?
I'll let him read it.
You're just gonna pass it to him?
Yeah, I'll take it out. I'll take it off and hand it over.
You open up the piece of paper. It's generally what you wrote, but you remember someone was copying down a second piece, and that you saw two pieces of paper go in opposite directions. So this is not what you wrote specifically, or what the guard wrote about you, like, because what he was saying is he's taking name, you know, reason for business, where you're coming from. That was pretty much it. This is a little more detailed. This seems to outline a vague age for you. It says that you're an older dwarf. It says that you seem slightly hostile. It says that you are headed to Goodmead, but that you won't share what your business is. It says that you weren't interested in taking part in the barbaric ritual. And that has a little asterisk on it. And then you see penned in another hand, Mithrama has taken some notes, and just in a circle, he has written, "Not a threat."
Why do you have this, and where did you get it from?
The guards of Bryn Shander, they help me out from time to time, and then we know about newcomers who are coming through. That's it. You came through. I got told. That was it.
All right.
Are we all seeing this? Like, exchange happen?
Yeah, and so Beetle, immediately, I was just about to say for you, this is raising a red flag. This reads as someone who would have a bounty on their head. And now, all of a sudden, you get just a cold chill, not from the weather, but from the circumstances. And you may be traveling with a wanted criminal.
Okay.
Logic, For you, okay. You're like, oh shit, my bodyguard keeps tabs on people. That's great. Love to see it.
Yeah, I'm like, he's glad to see the fuckers doing his job. He's keeping some important cargo safe. Me.
I'm not going to speak for anyone's character. All of your character choices are your own. But I would say this probably instills more confidence in Logic and much more suspicion in Beetle. And I don't know how Eighth Bear feels about this one way or the other.
Sorry, so I'm reading it as Eighth Bear is a wanted criminal. Like, that was my interpretation of the exchange.
No. Correct? No, that Mithrama is likely a wanted criminal. Because what kind of person just pays off the guards of a town to give them info about who's coming through? That's super strange. But then I would also say a logical leap for you is that you know that a bounty hunter did hire Mithrama, so this is a very weird situation. Mm-hmm. But you also know that that bounty hunter claimed to know you, and yet you have no memory of a Hlin Trollbane. So some weird shit's going on, but you don't really know what it is.
I'll say some weird shit is going on. And by the way, Logic,
I enjoy that we
during this entire exchange, Logic is playing his viol in during this rest.
In the howling wind,
yes.
I like that we had this bonding moment at the top of the mountain, and then immediately we're like, actually, just kidding. Yeah.
For better or worse, we're a team now. Also, we're all dangerous and hate each other.
Yes, let the paranoia flow through you.
Beetle will turn to Mithrama and say, so do you have envelopes on all of us, or just Eighth Bear?
And Mithrama, you know that you don't have envelopes on the other two, one of which is because Logic's mom hired you, so you had it on good authority that Logic would not be a threat to you, and you wouldn't have one on Beetle because Beetle was in town before you.
Before I got there, No, not all. Logic is the job. As for you, I first time I saw you was on the street when I was at the blacksmith.
And I want to add a little caveat that I'm more than just a job. All right?
Okay. Yes, you're a giant pain in the ass.
Did you just say I was a pain in the ass? You old man, you fucker.
Also, not to step on your toes, you probably shouldn't be playing music out here. We don't know what's listening or what that might draw.
The wind is loud as fuck. You can barely hear me playing.
And as soon as Mithrama says that, you hear another.
So he agrees with me.
The goats are just like looking at you. Like, now it's very clear that they're trying to go down the mountain and you guys are in their way.
Well, I guess we better pack up.
Yeah. Let's pack up our stuff and get through them as easy as possible.
Now,
would it be worthwhile if we tie like a rope to ourselves to like tie us all together? So if one of us falls,
we all fall.
We can pull them back.
One of us falls, we all fall. Fuck it.
That's what I'm hearing.
Okay, listen, Mithrama is a little bit more experienced with the outside world. Jack, on the other hand, enjoys like leisurely walks and the occasional hike. Not this level. I don't know if this is better or worse.
Yeah.
I say we hold hands.
If you want to tie yourselves together, you tie yourselves together.
Or we could do like preschooler style where they all have like, they have the rope with rings and they hold the ring and they don't tie them to the rope, because why would you tie an elementary schooler to a rope? But you just hold on to the ring. If we want to stay together.
Okay. I was gonna say, I don't think Beetle would trust coming from a person that she now thinks is a wanted criminal and be like, let's tie ourselves all together. I don't think she'd want to do that.
I wanna point it out. If Beetle thinks that Mithrama is not trustworthy, this is a bitch that is wearing like no cold clothes in the freezing cold has been like really evasive and weird about like some dude that's a murderer. And so
I didn't say she was not she was not the same.
Also fair to point out that the murderer is also the only other person we've heard about who also doesn't wear like is fine with the cold. Like,
is he your fucking dad or something? Is that your dad?
Oh god.
So rings, holding rings? Is that what's happening? Or no?
We're like holding on to a rope that's like stretched between us just so we can stay together.
You'll have 50 foot someone has 50 foot of hempen rope. So you are each spaced roughly 12 feet apart, and have this rope just to hold on to. as the goats start to pass, and for the DMs listening, this is a little improv on me. Three of the four goats pass. And as the fourth one is starting to pass, a cold wind just rushes down the mountain and it chills Beetle more than anyone else. Beetle, you feel a presence that you felt before, and you watch this goat bow its head, and then it looks up and it's black, kind of horizontal slit eyes roll back in its head, and its eyes go completely white, and it yanks its head from one side to the other, and you hear sickening bones start to crunch and crack. And this goat looks you in the eyes, and for a split second it kind of tilts its head back, like continue up the mountain. And that's what you kind of glean from that. And then it throws itself off the side of the mountain. And you hear it bleat in terror. And then moments later, you hear it crash on rocks below. And you look down and you just see a smattering of blood. And the other three goats just continue down. But this one was very clearly possessed by something and then forced to kill itself.
Do we all witness this?
Yeah, do you see this shit?
Yeah. Yeah, all four of you can make me wisdom saving throws.
What the fuck?
I got disadvantage on this, don't I?
No. This is not a skill check. Saving throw is a later exhaustion level. Yeah, logic.
13.
That's the most fucked up shit you've ever seen in your life.
What it was the
almost,
fuck?
I almost landed on 16, but then I landed 22. On 8, so now I have a 9.
Okay. Eighth Bear and Logic, you two are really shaken by that. Whether it's because you have a general love of animals or just a hate for things unworldly and fucked up. Mithrama, maybe it unsettles you in a different way, but you know that that is really just a distraction and you need to keep moving up the mountain. And that's something, that's just another thing you can put out of your mind. Beetle, you feel that you should be more disturbed by what you just saw, but you know that while that was terrible, you have a sneaking suspicion that something is trying to lead your way, and help you. And as for the other two, yeah, that was really, really fucked up. That was unnatural. that should not have happened.
I did not like that. And Logic starts to almost like as if he's going to start turn and walking in the opposite direction.
Yeah, as soon as you do that without anyone else doing it, Boy rushes over to you. He like wiggles his way through Mithrama's legs and past the other two, and he just jumps up and puts his paws on your chest and barks. And he's wagging his tail, but he's pointing his nose back up the trail.
Get away from me. And Logic tries to push Boy off of him.
Boy nips your hand and bites you, just barely.
Fuck.
And then very quickly licks it and points his nose up again, and he's starting to whimper.
Logic will begrudgingly turn, I guess, start to follow the goat that you just feel fucking
killed itself. Logic, you were in the back of the marching order, Boy begins to nuzzle you and just push with his snout kind of into your butt and pushes you past Eighth Bear and Logic and sets you next to Mithrama. And then wags his tail and keeps leading the party.
So now it's Mithrama, Logic, Eighth Bear, Beetle, right?
It's up to you. If Beetle or Eighth Bear, it's up to you who's in the back of the pack.
I can meet the back. I think she'll, after they pass, she'll like look at the goat again as they go. Like one more glance.
Yeah. It's a bloody scene. It's gruesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great.
Now thousands. Go ahead.
Is it the same feeling that she had when she saw the giant owl? Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. Okay.
Now thousands of feet up the mountain, you come to a glistening white expanse of packed snow. The five of you, boy included, are just marching as quickly as possible, just like, God, what the fuck is going on out here? We need to be back in town as quickly as possible. Boy is about 20 feet ahead of Mithrama. Mithrama's 12 feet ahead of Logic. Logic's 12 feet ahead of Eighth Bear. Eighth Bear's 12 feet ahead of Beetle. As you get about halfway across this glistening expanse, you all hear a loud crack from higher up on the mountain, followed by a rumbling noise as the ground starts to shake. This is very clearly an avalanche. Boy just immediately sprints. I need all of you to roll me initiative.
Oh,
fuck. And are we rolling initiative with disadvantage? Or is it just ability checks?
That is just ability checks.
18 Perfect. For Logic.
12.
21 for Mithrama.
11 for Beetle.
Okay. All right. First up is Mithrama. Mithrama, you see up let's see, 500 feet above you, there is a large just push of snow headed towards you. This avalanche is 200 feet wide. It looks to be about 100 feet long, and it's at least 30 feet deep. You know that from where you're standing, you are completely out of the path. You know that Logic is completely out of the path. Eighth Bear has about... And so, DMs, you can tell I'm changing this just a little bit. Eighth Bear needs to move about 50 feet to get out of the path. And then Beetle... We're just going to round up and say that Beetle needs to move 65 feet to get out of the path. What would you like to do?
Great question. I think Mithrama will turn to Logic and just be like, brace yourself, get behind me. And then with the rope that we'll carrying, I'll shout out to the other two and just tell them to hold on. And I'll chuck the end of the rope towards Logic and just brace myself as well to hold on to it.
Okay. All right, Logic, is there anything you would like to do? It is your turn.
I guess just hold on as tight as I can.
Because you're both bracing for this, if a check is made, you'll be making it with advantage.
And yes. Tell the folks behind me, get out of the fucking way.
Okay. All right, Eighth Bear, it is your turn.
I'm going to... You said I had about 50 feet to go, 50 feet. Right? Okay, so I'm going to go just use my action to sprint all 50 feet.
Okay. Eighth Bear, Logic and Mithrama, you're watching this closely. Eighth Bear has never once shown you any sign of his age when it comes to him moving. Logic, you've seen him sprint over open tundra before. This is no different, except for the slight bit of panic on his face. But yeah, he is booking it, and you see that he just bounces into the two of you. He's also holding on to that rope, and he is out of the path of the avalanche. And Beetle, it is your turn.
Okay, so I can Beetle also tell that it's only going to be like 30 feet of snow above her? Like, it's only 30. Does that make sense?
It's, well, wait, it's 500 feet above you, but if you got hit with it, mm-hmm. it's 30 feet deep. So you, if say you're 5 foot tall, it'd be, you'd be buried 25 feet. Your head would be 25 feet in the snow.
Okay. She is going to, she can see, like, she's too far. She can't, she won't have enough time to run. So she is going to, set her pack down, pull out her bedroll. She'll bundle up in it. She'll just hunker down.
Okay.
What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, Aeth Bear's gonna call out.
What are you doing?
Can she hear that?
Yeah. I'll give you 5 words for free before this avalanche takes you.
Okay, she'll say, I can jump up. Nope. And then that's the last word.
And as she's trying to convey this message, Mithrama and Logic, you just saw Aeth Bear sprint for his life. And the rope that you're holding, that's only 50 feet long, you felt that rush of it start to crumple and pull and bunch as Aeth Bear ran with it. And then Aeth Bear, you turn and see there is no rope. You have the end of it now. And as you turn to ask Beetle what the fuck she's doing, she begins to explain it, and then bam, she is hit with more snow than any of you have ever seen in your life. Beetle, you immediately take 10 points of damage, and all three of you watch as for a split second, you see your friend trying to explain this, and then she is gone.
Yeah.
Now, friend is a
generous word. I would say acquaintance.
This bitch is crazy.
Just watch this snow roll down the mountain. You have no fucking clue where Beetle is.
And
All right, Beetle, let's see if you live through this.
Oh my gosh.
Beetle,
you immediately.
Hopefully my plan works.
Right before that snow hit you, in your mind's eye, you see that hideous face of that owl, and it snaps at you as if to say, what the fuck are you doing? That is not a part of the plan. You should have tried to get out of this. Whatever that creature is that lives in your mind's eye, it is mad at you right now. And as you are hit and take that 10 points of damage, it is a pain like none other, and it is cold like you have never felt before. You immediately are flattened onto your side, and you feel yourself rolled. You have no idea which way you're going. As far as laterally, you know, longitudinally, you are just pushed down this mountain another 1,000 feet or so, and it's in the blink of a few seconds. I need you to make me a strength saving throw.
Okay.
You feel immediately you are blinded. You cannot see anything. And you are also restrained. Your speed is 0.
14.
What was the strength save?
14.
14?
Mm-hmm.
You begin to claw through snow. You have no idea which way you're going. You can't see anything. You really aren't moving much. And you fail that strength save. You take another point of exhaustion.
Okay. So my plan was, once the snow was on top of me, that I would use Blessing of the Raven Queen, and I can teleport 30 feet to an unoccupied space that I... Oh, but it's where I can see.
Exactly.
That did not go as I hoped.
And the way that, the way that Jenna feels right now is the way that Beetle feels, because Beetle, only once in your life have you really been outmatched by anything, and it was the time you fought Sephic on your own. Otherwise, you have been God's favorite princess for a long time, and you have been gifted like natural powers that have carried you through a lot of life's more difficult challenges. And right now, you just relied on them to your detriment.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be that that once gifted child is now a failure?
Your second level of exhaustion means that until you only lose one level of exhaustion per long rest, so your speed is now halved.
Okay.
On the surface, what are the three of you doing?
I'm going to start, I mean, if the avalanche is past, I'm going to start like sprinting over to where I last saw Beetle and try digging in the snow.
Okay. All right. Each of you, not Aeth Bear. Aeth Bear knows where he's digging. Logic and Mithrama, make me survival checks. Mithrama, yours is with disadvantage. Aeth Bear, go ahead and make me an athletics check.
Athletics.
That'll be a 5 from Logic.
Okay.
That's a 19 for me with disadvantage.
Damn.
Love it. Love to see it. That's very good.
Is there any way we can use Boy as well? Or is Boy run off too far?
I'm going to have Boy run with with Aeth Bear. Aeth Bear, roll with advantage.
With advantage, thank fucking God.
Yeah, because Boy is digging in the snow as well as quickly as he can, and he's barking like crazy.
I rolled a 10.
With advantage?
Yeah, with advantage.
I see.
You and Boy are digging avail.
I see Aeth Bear struggling, and I'm going to give him Bardic Inspiration.
Okay, that would be for his next roll.
Okay.
So, Logic, you see that struggle, and that's what you're preoccupied with. Mithrama, for whatever reason, you know exactly where Beetle is. It's not where they're digging. It's not where they're focused on. You just hit the snow like a slide tackle. You begin sliding down the mountain as quickly as you can, just using your backhand to kind of guide you, and you're steering yourself best you can in the snow. You stop. There's no rhyme or reason to how you would know where Beetle is, but you know where she is. Go ahead and make me an athletics check with disadvantage.
Okay, first one's 19. Second one, 19. Two 19s.
Damn, holy shit.
Hell yeah. You,
Mithrama, you think back to finding base camp. You think back to trying to inspire Logic. And now... you think also back just moments ago, trying to ease Aeth Bear's suspicions of you. And now in this moment, you are a person who has been on his own for a reason. Because anytime you get close to people, you are going to naturally be in danger. And you can't trust anyone, and you know that this is always a bad fucking idea. And yet, whatever part of you that lives deep inside yourself, maybe that you're not familiar with at all, knows that you are naturally good at taking care of others and helping people, and you slide into this snow, and you might not be the strongest guy out there, and you are fucking exhausted, and you dig like no one has ever dug before, and you see Beetle's back, and you see that she is digging herself deeper into the snow, and she is digging the wrong way, and you grab her by the collar and just with superhuman strength yank her free, and she flops back onto her back. She's coughing up snow. And Beetle, you look up, and this man you're suspicious of has more than certainly just saved your fucking life. And he is panting over you, and he's red in the face, but you know for a fact he just saved your life.
And in the background, you see Aeth Bear and Boy digging in the wrong spot. And then Logic just standing at the top of the hill.
Play a violin.
Yeah, just playing. Just playing like,
hey, it's sawing on the fiddle.
She'll go, thank you. Normally this goes better for me. This isn't. You got me in a bad week, but thank you.
Despite himself, Mithrama will like briefly grin, and he'll stand up and like hold out a hand to like pull Beetle up.
Okay, she'll take it.
Yeah, and start trudging back up to the top.
Mithrama, the mom friend of the group.
All right. The five of you reconvene. Holy shit. You all come to terms with the fact that one of you just almost ate it on this mountain. I mean, you did eat it, but you didn't bite it, I guess.
Yeah. It was close.
Close one.
The... I need each of you to make me your second set of athletics checks as you are climbing up a steep snow-covered incline dotted with jagged rocks.
Don't forget you have inspiration, Thorin.
Bardic inspiration. It's a D6, right?
As a with disadvantage.
Logic just rolled a 3.
Love it.
So. Beetle got a 9.
Good. Great.
I got a 16.
You're welcome.
Okay. Eighth Bear, you feel inspired by your friend Logic. You realize now you are the only one that is keeping up with this climb. This is getting pretty bad pretty quickly. You see, as you're making it up this mountain, and you're just pushing yourself as hard as you can to get up here, and you are the oldest of the group. Logic has just like taken up, like he's like walking as best he can, and he's just not making any movement. Mithrama has just like fully sat down in the snow and just looks fucking exhausted. You see Beetle begin to like grab a rock, and she slips and just hits her cheek on the mountainside. They look fucking rough. Logic, you can go ahead and add a level of exhaustion. Mithrama, you are now on your second. Your speed is halved. And Beetle, you are now on your third. You have disadvantage on attack rolls and saving throws.
Mm. Okay.
Oh, no.
This part that should take another good 15 minutes takes an hour. And Boy and you get to the top, and each of you just subsequently, Boy is once again, now is at Beetle, and is just grabbing Beetle and like helping pull her up. You find the strength to just tuck Logic under an arm and carry him up, then go back down and drag Mithrama by his hands to get you all to this next spot. You are now about 3,000 feet up on this mountain. You feel the air thinner. You also see, lying face down in the snow, barely conscious, is a humanoid in blood-stained cold weather clothing.
In her heart of hearts, Beetle wants to go help and check on this person, but she's like, I need a minute.
Yeah.
She just sits in the snow.
Yeah, Logic? I think naturally the only one of you that's going to go check on this guy is Eighth Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go do.
Yeah. And Eighth Bear, you now know via Boy's excitement. Boy nudges this guy under his chin, and he's panting. He's licking this guy's face. You go over, and you recognize you've made good on your promise to Keegan so far. You recognize from the portrait, this is Garrett. And you just turn him over. He is... generally paler than Keegan. He has a nice head of lettuce. He's got these nice brown curls. He's got this mustache, good teeth. Just overall, very normally it would be a very happy looking guy. And
sounds like a guy
Garrett,
I know.
Garrett shakes his head for a moment and then sees Boy and just smiles this bright smile and begins to pet him and says, thank fuck. he kisses Boy on the snout. Boy, you're the best dog. Who are you? Boy, I love you. And then he just kisses Boy again. You're such a good boy. Who are you?
Aethbear Aelswiller. Me and my companions here have been hired by your husband to come find you. Well, more like hired by your dog, but...
He smiles at that, and he just rubs Boy's head, and Boy tucks himself under his armpit and just gives him another kiss, and he says, "That's my boy. Good to meet you, Aethbear. Your friends look real rough. And you see, this dude looks pretty fucking rough, too. He has claw marks in his chest.
Oh.
That now are no longer, it's not actively bleeding. He's not in danger, but out of his 33 normal hit points, he's at 6 HP.
Damn.
And you see, he has a short sword on his belt. He also has a climber's kit. But otherwise, you see the strap of one backpack, and it's clear that he had a pack that was just like, it must have been ripped right off of his back. And he's got a few nicks on his neck to show you that as well. And he says, it was Yetis. Yetis surprised me, the companions, I, and he furrows his brow. And punches his hand. Is the companions I was hired to take care of. And they're gone. I mean, can you imagine that? Someone hires you. Someone trusts you to take care of them. And you fail them. I've never dealt with this before. I've never failed.
Logic cuts like eyes at Mithrama during that comment. Considering his current state.
Can't relate.
Listen, I we made it to the top. Us, the dogs, everybody. And when we hit the top, that's when the Yetis got us. I led the Yeti down the mountain and got him to chase me. But as you can tell, he fucked me up pretty bad. I think he got distracted by something. But listen, I know it's asking a lot. Can you go up there? Can you see if they're all right? There's three of them. They can pay you.
Listen, Garrett. You've been through a lot, and listen, I know what it's like to lose people, and especially people you put their trust in you, etc. It's a real rough beat, but our job was to come find you, and we damn near killed ourselves doing that. If they're up there, they're dead or close to it. You ain't, and neither are we.
If y'all don't do it, I gotta do it. Somebody's gotta go up there for him.
You need to let your fucking pride just go, man.
It ain't about pride, it's about people. They're in danger. Well, y'all had the wherewithal to come help me. You gotta understand that I owe them the same debt that you felt like you owed me. All right, whatever compelled you to come get me, I'm dealing with the same thing right now. He stands up and he starts readying his climbing gear. As this is happening, Beetle is the only person with a passive perception of 17 or higher. You hear the light crunch of snow. And on the ridge above you, you look up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You see the terrifying silhouettes of two, what I would describe as mountain lions, except they're about 12 feet long each. These are crag cats. They're white in fur.
Okay.
They are absolutely giant, and they are about to bear down on you and Aethbear. Modular is Thorin George's Eighth Bear Ale Swiller. Raven Walker is Logic Mercer. Jack Dean is Mithrama Thon, and Jenna Reed as Beetle Folly Knight. Luke Job is our DM. The story you heard today, as well as 99% of the characters, were created by Wizards of the Coast and can be found in the module Icewind Dale, Rime of the Frost Maiden. Holly Lines is our fantastic editor. Raven Walker does our cover art. Our music today was written and performed by Max Hedman. You can find Max's music anywhere you listen to music. You can follow us on Twitter at ModThePod, join our private Facebook group at the Modular Podcast Fan Club, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at the Modular Podcast, and subscribe to us on YouTube at the Modular Podcast. You can email us with any questions about our show at modularthepodcast@gmail.com. You can join our Discord and get funky with it, as we like to say. That's what we've always said that, and you knew that. Here's a quick shout out to at Wreckage Podcast, at ODPH, yeah, I didn't miss a letter, good, podcast, at Sons and Shadows, and at Talkin' Film. All of these fantastic folks on Twitter, follow us there. If you want to shout out like them, maybe you should follow us there too, then we'll shout you out. We'll say your handle on the airwaves, and then our listeners go, wait a second, I should check out Wreckage Podcast. I should check out Talkin' Film. I need to go follow these folks. These folks follow my folks. My folks want to follow these folks. And then everybody's just folksing around. You know, we love to folks around. We've always said that. You know that. You remember that. Remember that new episodes come out every Tuesday? And until then, thank you for listening to Modular.